It's so difficult to look humble as somebody reads a biography that you wrote. Mark and I do not have anything to disclose in way of financial interests. This discussion we're going to have really started many years ago when the Public Health Leadership Society developed a code of ethics, and it was adopted by the American Public Health Association in 2002. And at that time, or around that time, Mark, my co-author here, and Matt Winia, who was then at the American Medical Association, started doing some pretty heavy-duty thinking about what we ought to be doing about this. And when the ethics section decided, let's start a revisit of the code and possibly a revision, Mark and I got together, this was now earlier this year, and started going back and forth about what exactly we thought needs to be addressed. What are the questions that need to be addressed as we go forward on this? So let's start with our proposition that public health ethics falls into four domains. That there is a domain of professional ethics. This is the people who are actually doing the work and how they do their work. There's research ethics, which is self-explanatory. There's organizational ethics, which looks at the requirements and obligations of organizations working in public health. And then there's social ethics, which has to do with the morality of public policy making on public health issues, or unfortunately sometimes the lack thereof. And we believe that a public health ethics code is supposed to identify that which allows people in public health to be a good, note the capital G, a good public health researcher and a good public health professional and a good public health agency or organization and ultimately a good society. So this is the code that exists today. I don't have the time to go into it in great detail. You notice we've highlighted some of the things. So it's looking at investigating the fundamental causes and preventing things, respecting the rights of individuals, giving people an opportunity for input, empowering the disenfranchised, making sure that health is accessible to all, the conditions necessary for health are accessible to all, that public health organizations should seek information and provide communities with that information and obtain community assent when necessary, that public health institutions have to act in a timely manner within the resources and mandate that they have. They have to anticipate and respect diverse values, beliefs, and cultures in the community. That a part of the responsibility is to enhance both the physical and social environment. That there is a presumption of confidentiality that may at times have to be overcome, but only with sufficient justification. That public health institutions should be responsible for the professional competence of the people who work for them. And that a good public health organization is actively engaged in partnering with other organizations and other institutions in the community. It is currently being used. I don't know how widespread that use is. I'm not sure there are any data on that, but we know for sure that there are public health organizations, particularly local, state and local health departments who use this in conjunction with a very active ethics program at their organization. The The trouble with the code as it exists right now, it's very focused on one of the four domains, which is the organization. It has some things that look like professional ethics, but mostly it is in the domain of organizational ethics. So it very specifically doesn't talk about research ethics, and it doesn't talk that much about social ethics. And the ethics section has put together a task force which is looking at the code as it exists now and trying to figure out what we can hold on to that is worth moving forward into the future with, and what we might need to add to the code and make it a larger process. That process has started. That task force has started. If you are at all upset about not having had input, you should understand we just started, and it's going to be probably a 3-year process to do all of this. So you will have lots and lots of opportunity to understand what the task force is doing and shape it with your input. As I said, around the time that this was being developed, Mark and Matt Winia, who is now in Colorado, but at the time was with the, he was the head of the ethics section of the American Medical Association, came up with an idea that maybe instead of a code, what we really need is some statement of values that is tantamount to an oath that people entering public health ought to commit themselves to. And so you see this is the text of the oath, and we did the same thing highlighting some of the concepts, that this is a sacred duty to protect and promote the health of the public. It's a calling to public service. I had nothing to do with this oath, but I have to tell you there are lots of things I really like about it, like that line. It requires integrity and clarity of purpose and trust of the public, and that it acknowledges that everybody working in public health carries with them ethical responsibilities, and that there is a responsibility to follow these professional obligations. And Matt and Mark laid out what some of those are, to try and understand the fundamental causes of our problems, to respect individual rights, to empower the disenfranchised, to seek the best available information, to be responsive to the public in their values and beliefs and priorities, to not just listen to but actually anticipate and expect diverse values, beliefs, and cultures, to be respectful of confidential health information, to respect the inherent collaborative nature of public health, and in all things, to put the health of the public first and foremost. And the idea that they had was that this would be something that maybe the schools and programs of public health might adopt as a commencement statement. I know many schools have something like this, nothing quite as robust as this, but do have something like this. So that's an idea that we want to bring forward to today. This is now quite a few years ago. We wanted to bring that forward today and share that with the group. You notice that Mark handed out 3x5 cards. And so if you didn't get a 3x5 card, raise your hand and Mark will come give you one. My kids do not know what a 3x5 card is. Because who writes on 3x5 cards, for heaven's sakes? And we are actively soliciting your input into the into our presentation, which we hope will then all go forward to the ethics group. So the oath has been adopted by some schools and programs. It is very much aimed at the professional ethics part, but it also makes reference to aspects of social ethics in terms of referring to this, for instance, as a calling. So with the existing APHA code, with the proposal of this oath, we now may have something that starts to look like organizational professional ethics. It again does not deal with research ethics, and it only just slightly tangentially brings in the issue of social ethics. So what is it that professional codes are intended to do? So they're intended to highlight the specific competences and responsibilities that the professionals have, their responsibilities to their colleagues, to those legal mandates or limitations on their work, their responsibilities to the larger society, to the other workers in their field, their responsibilities in conducting research, and of course they also have a duty to oneself, to one's both one's personal health and the leading of one's life, but also one's education and development as a professional in the field. And they ought to identify virtues that are part of the character that we expect of people in working in public health. So then we turn to the question of, well, what questions could arise in this process? So the first question is, should we have four documents, or should we have one, or some combination? Since there are four domains, maybe we should have four different documents, or maybe one document with four different parts to it. As the task force has started, it's becoming clear fairly quickly that it is probably a hopeless task to come up with one document that stretches across everything that we do in public health. And so maybe what we need is more working groups. If the task force is really going to focus on one or two of those areas, then maybe we need more working groups. So we might need a research working group and a social ethics working group. An interesting question that hasn't been... Oh, really? Wow. I'm not talking fast enough. Is there really a difference between a professional code of ethics, an oath, or a statement of values? That's something that we feel needs to be addressed. One of the big questions is, are we really public health professionals? I have to tell you, I don't feel like a public health professional. I'm a teacher. I happen to be a lawyer, and I have a law practice. I'm a policy advocate. I'm a policy analyst. And I do all of that within public health. Those are my professional identities. I don't think of myself as a public health professional, which is a real issue because public health is very broad and a lot of different types of people. Is there really much of a difference between organizational ethics and professional ethics? And I think that is one of the first things that the task force is going to grapple with as they may see that we might be able to put those two things together. Is there something different about public health research ethics that's different from other research ethics? I believe there are. I'm convinced that our IRBs have no idea about public health research unless they are specifically populated by people in public health, and as the global nature of public health is more recognized, you get a real problem with IRBs in American culture making judgments on work that's done in other cultures and other circumstances. My particular area of interest is social ethics. And for those of you who were at my presentation yesterday, you recognize these as the things that I use to kind of rile up people's moral energy. What I believe is the case is that we need something that not only explains how we can be a good researcher and how we can be a a good professional, a good organization, but we also have to talk about what it means to be a good society and how we are going to use the powers of persuasion and of law to develop a future of a good society. The powerful question here is it really possible to develop a consensus? And that's something, the reason why we think it's going to take years to do this is because I think Mark and I are a little dubious about how easy it's going to be to develop that consensus. There is also on the table the issue of having some mechanism that is tantamount to what we do in the law, developing case studies that from which we induce general principles, as opposed to trying to identify all of the general principles and then deduce what our behavior should be. For those of you who heard me yesterday, you know that I'm very much pushing this idea of transitive morality, not just what should I do and how should I behave to be a good public health professional, but how should you, this person who we believe is engaged in something that is antithetical to the public health and immoral, how do we justify those positions and make the proposal for a larger good society? We do this all the time. APHA is constantly telling everybody what we should do as a good society. And what we need to do, I think, is to investigate how one goes about doing that and what are the moral underpinnings for that. The task force is going to take, as I said, a few years. They've got a small group of us starting, and then there's going to be rings out over the years, and it's going to be a constant interaction between the small group and those rings of people who are going to be involved in this. And we see what we started here as just one of a number of possible inputs into the process that the ethics section is involved in. And we'd like your involvement. That's why we gave you the 3x5 cards. If you think of something during the rest of this session or after this session, you can find us at the ethics business meeting this evening at 6:30. And give us your ideas as to what are the questions you think that the ethics task force has to address. In closing, I need to say that due to superior planning on my part, I actually have another presentation to give on the other side of this complex. And so, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to stick around, but Mark, raise your hand. So this is Mark Hiller, who this idea started with, will be here for the discussion that follows. Thank you.